Rahat, we could not see your screen. Yeah, you're right there.
Can you see my screen now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we have 7 minutes left. So, I guess everyone is fine today. It's Saturday morning here. Last week, we talked about mostly cognitive services, Azure, data warehouse, and a bit about machine learning. And today, mostly we are going to talk about data analysis with Azure Machine Learning, Azure Machine Learning Studio, the new tool that Microsoft has launched along with Azure a few years ago. And also, in the next session, Deepak will talk about more about Azure Cloud Storage. So, yeah, it will be fun, I guess, and everyone will enjoy. And we are actually recording the session. The sessions will be available in Channel 9. So you just need to search with the title, Data Analysis with Azure Machine Learning, in Bing search or Google search, you'll be able to find it.
Yep. Yeah. In addition to that, it will be available at CSAP Corner at YouTube channel, my YouTube channel, and my website itself. So we will have a recording for future reference, say, for if we want to walk over again, we have that recording, and so that we can reach to maximum technical folks, that is the criteria, and to upload these videos on various technical channels, technical forums.
And we'll be really happy to get feedback. So if you guys want us to organize a webinar in any other topic, that then just inform us. We'll try to bring, if we are not expert on that topic, then we'll try to bring new speakers as well. And if those topics are within Azure Machine Learning and Azure, then obviously me and Deepak is going to cover them in future webinars. There will be a webinar next week. I'll be in Toronto for MVP Open Day. So, but we will try to organize another one after a week. So, and on June 10th, if you guys are in Canada, in Regina or in Saskatoon, don't forget to attend our monthly meetup, C Sharp Corner Regina Chapter meetup in June 10th. So we have we will share the event page soon, and on our next monthly meetup, we are going to talk about Azure microservice, service fabric, SQL, data warehouse, database, and a bit about Office 365 apps development. So I guess that is mostly developer-centric, our monthly meetups. So, and we are organizing that one from last 6 months. We are getting huge response from Regina and Saskatoon technical folks. So we are really happy that we are giving back to our community and trying our best to help our developers to grow their skill and move forward.
That's right. We have various expert ERAD session. We have different MVPs. And this time, Solvira Solutions, one of the, I would say, best company in Canada, their architect director, Mike Senior, is also speaking on that event. I have shared the link in case anybody want to register. And we are going to live telecast that.
We are going to start the session within 2 minutes.
Yeah. In 2 minutes, we will start.
So if anyone has any suggestion or feedback, just let us know.
Or in 2 minutes, anybody want to toss any prerequisite or any question? Definitely, we would happy to give the answer. And after session also, each session, we will give the answers to all the questions as we are doing earlier. So feel free to toss the question at any time as per your convenience. And we are most happy to give the answer. So Rahat, I'm recording, I'm starting recording, and after a minute, you could start.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So in 1 minute, definitely let me introduce Rahat. Rahat is data scientist at University of Saskatchewan, as well as he is Microsoft MVP, 2 times Microsoft MVP, and 2-3 times, I think, CISA Connor MVP. His contribution in technical fraternity in Canada is unmatchable. He's writing a book on machine learning. He wrote a book earlier. He has a bunch of, articles. So we are really lucky to have Rahat today on webinar. And we are looking forward to enhance our skill set on Azure Machine Learning. Thanks, Rahat. Over to you.
Thank you, bro. I'm not that, like, I'm nothing that much like that you have introduced, just me. Like, it's fine. I just try to give back to the community. I really get a lot of help from developers like you. You guys are actually trying to build the community, and we are just following your steps. So, hello everyone. Welcome to my presentation, Data Analysis with Azure Machine Learning. I am Rahat Yasir. Deepak has already introduced me, Microsoft MVP in Windows Development. So what we are going to talk about today is we will talk about machine learning a bit. And then we will see, talk about Azure Machine Learning Studio, what we can do as a machine learning Azure Machine Learning Studio, and then different features, whatever data we can use, how we can visualize data. And then at the end, I'm going to show a full demo of Azure Machine Learning Studio in front of you guys from the scratch. And it is so easy to use Azure ML as a simulation tool for data analysis. So let's start then. Azure Machine Learning. So we all know that we are also hearing that machine learning is taking our jobs. Machine learning is taking over everything. So what is happening actually? We are using data. We are generating tons of data every day, and using some algorithms, some intelligent algorithms, by training our full systems, we are doing something, finding meanings, patterns, insights from our daily life, from our daily life data. So those are nothing actually. Machine learning is actually a way to understand the data pattern, recognize it, predict accordingly for future. And it helps in data mining, language processing, image recognition, and many other artificial intelligence way. So if you talk, machine learning, we can divide machine learning in three ways. One is supervised learning, one is unsupervised learning, and the third one is reinforcement learning. Here, for Azure Machine Learning Studio and its examples, we are going to use only supervised and unsupervised learnings. So for supervised learning, we will predict the future, and we will learn past examples to predict the future. So suppose we have a set of examples, our system is going to learn those examples, and then it will be able to predict future. It will be able to take future decisions from past examples. But for unsupervised learning, it's totally different. For unsupervised learning, we actually understand the past, make sense of the data by itself, learn structure of the data, and then compress the data for consumption. And after learning the pattern, our machine actually takes the decision by itself from the pattern. Even the new situation, the new scenario is not similar to the past historical data. It will be able to take the decision by itself because it is totally unsupervised, and it will be, after learning everything, it will be intelligent enough to take the decision. So for Azure Machine Learning Studio, it's a free tool. For certain amount of use, it's free. If you don't have any Azure subscription, you can create one for 30 days. You will get a $200 free credit. And at the same time, if you have Azure subscription account account in Microsoft Partner Network, Visual Studio Subscriber account, Microsoft BizSpark, Microsoft MSDN, GameSpark, Microsoft Emails for Studio students, then you can easily create an Azure account and get a $25 to $150 free monthly subscription for a few years. So let's talk about Azure Machine Learning Studio. It's not a software. It's a platform. It is accessible through a web browser. You don't need to install anything. It's very easy. It's a collaborative work with you can make a workspace in Azure Machine Learning Studio and share your workspace with anyone. You don't need to implement your own algorithm all the time. Almost all the classic machine learning algorithms are already implemented. So you will have to just drag and drop different things and use them. At the same time, if you want to optimize your algorithm or customize it or design one by yourself, there's opportunity for yourself to do that using R and Python. And you can, after designing those model and algorithm, you can easily launch them and integrate them with your existing system by creating a web service. And it is very easy to create a web service of your model using Azure Machine Learning Studio. So Azure Machine Learning Studio, what type of data formats does it support? If you look at the data formats, suppose we are the data scientist, we need to provide data to design the model to analyze our, to find out, to predict something, and also to analyze our need. So it supports different types of data formats like ARWF, CSV, TSV, Excel, and ZIP as data format as well. So we have different options in our hand. If we look at the data sources, Azure Machine Learning Studio does support a lot of different types of data sources. Some of the supported data sources are Azure Blob Storage, Azure SQL Database, Azure SQL DW, Azure Table, Hadoop Hive Query, OData, or even Desktop Direct Upload. So if you have a bunch of data, if you have a running system, you can directly use all those data. Integrate your existing data with your system and with your designed model and use them. And at the same time, if you have just a bunch of data without any system in your desktop or somewhere else, just directly upload them and use them. So it's pretty easy actually. And we all know we need to do data processing to do any type of data analysis. So to do data processing, there are lots of options for us. We can run clean missing data operation or clip outliers. We can edit metadata. We can do normalization operation. We can do quantization or even partition. So those are available in Machine Learning Studio. And after analysis, we will need to show our data to get the gist. What does it mean? To get the insight of the data, actually. To visualize our data, we have options we can visualize our data using box plot, histogram, bar chart, scatter plot. All the Python plotting libraries are available in Azure Machine Learning Studio. We can generate ROC graph. We will generate ROC graph box plot in our example today. And also we have option decision tree, confusion matrix, like that. Okay, And as I have already told you guys that all the classic algorithms, not all the, most of the like popular classic algorithms are already implemented in Azure Machine Learning Studio. So what is happening, you don't need to implement most of the algorithms by yourself. You can use existing algorithm or existing model from Azure Machine Learning. So in 8 different categories, 33 algorithms are already implemented in Azure Machine Learning Studio. Algorithms like classification, like classifiers, like 2+ classifiers, they're like, you can see on the left, like there are lots of 2+ classifiers, like 2+ decision jungle, 2+ decision forest, 2+ neural network. Those are implemented. There are algorithms like multi-class regression, like multi-class logistic regression, 2+ logistic regression, general regression algorithms like ordinal regression, neural network regression, linear regression. Those are implemented. For multi-class classification, multi-class decision forest, multi-class decision jungle, they're also implemented over there. And there are opportunities for you to use text analytics like VTEC language, feature hashing, pre-processed text, etc. You can also cluster your data using k-means clustering. Do anomaly detection using 1+ support vector machine and also PCA-based anomaly detection. There are time series related algorithms are also available. And for image processing, OpenCV library modules are also there. If you want, you can use them. And if you're developing something statistical, then you can use different types of like statistical functions. You test your hypothesis by t-test or ANOVA and others are not implemented, not all of them, but there are like different statistical methods as well for your use. So it's it has made our life so easy actually. So we don't need to think about those algorithms by ourselves. We can just drag and drop them and use them. So to create our Azure Machine Learning Studio account, we don't need any Azure subscription. We don't need any credit card or anything. Just search Microsoft Azure Machine Learning Studio. You'll get Azure Machine Learning Studio portal. Sign up over here, free. You have the access. You'll be able to use Azure Machine Learning Studio for free till 10 GB of data. So you can upload data till 10 GB and do different types of analysis and processing over there. So now let's do some real-life hands-on demo on using Azure Machine Learning Studio. I'm just searching Azure Machine Learning Studio. Yep, we got something. So this is studio.azureml.net. This is Azure Machine Learning Studio portal. So let's sign. You can see you don't need any subscription, Azure subscription or credit card or anything to use Azure Machine Learning. I'll have to sign into my account. You can see my Azure Machine Learning Studio is loading. This is the portal of Azure Machine Learning Studio, where you can see on the left, different like their project section, experiments, web service, notebooks, data sets, training model, settings. In the middle, you can see a lot of experiments that I do. On the right, you can see a glimpse of those experiments. And also, you can see like it's a like free workspace that I'm using right now. So you guys can also use that one. And if you have Azure subscription, then you can use your Azure Machine Learning Studio account with integrate your Azure Machine Learning Studio account with your Azure subscription and use them. So if you click new, you can see you can upload data set from your local machine. There are lots of module for you that is ready. Those are mostly Jupyter module or like existing module. Those are already designed in Azure Machine Learning Studio. You can integrate them, open them, like do some tweaking, try different things with them. They're like project. This is the Australian preview section. This is experiment where you can create a blank experiment or you can work with existing experiments as well. And there is also notebook section. This notebook section is for Jupyter, where you can easily like manage your code in very intuitive way. So let's see our data set. Like I have already like for today's example, I'm going to use Titanic data set for like to show like some data analysis. So what is happening here? We all know about Titanic, it was a like disaster, so a lot of people died and the ship eventually like drowned. So we are going to use that data set. Titanic data set is considered as a classic machine learning problem. So what we are going to do, we have collected, this data set is public, so you guys can download it from anywhere, from Kaggle or anywhere else, and use this one to test your system and practice something. So what is happening here, I have the data set of how many, like almost 1310 passengers of Titanic Voyager. So whatever data I have their class number, class 1, class 2, class 3, what like their which class they belong to, each of the passengers. They survived or not, 1 or 0, their name, sex, age, they have any siblings on the ship or not. Their PRH, I forget what does it mean, the ticket number, the ticket fare, their cabin number, embark, I don't know what it does actually exactly mean, their boat number, if they survive, then which boat did they use, their body, and where they're from, where they're from, and where is their what was their destination. So we have this data set. And what we are going to do, using this data set, we are going to predict whether, other than this survived column, we will design one model where we will train the model with all the data, like class, name, sex, age, all of them, and then we'll predict, whether a person will survive or not by our model. So let's do this. Okay. So this is our Titanic data set, and let's create one new experiment from the blank. Yep, I'm creating one new experiment. You can see this is my experiment where in the middle you can see a blank dashboard where you can drag and drop things. You can see drag items here option. They're also in the left. There are lots of components over here. You can search here whatever you wanna drag and drop in your main window, and in the right you can see project properties and other information. So what I need, the first thing I need, I'll need is my data set. So let's search here to find out my data set, which is Titanic1.csv. Titanic1.csv. This is my data set. What I'm going to do, I'm going to drag and drop it here. Yep, you can see my data set is here. So let's modify the name. Name is Titanic Machine Learning Problem. Yep. So this is my data set. So let's visualize this one. Click on the right click, then select data set, and then visualize. Then you'll be able to visualize there are 1310 rows and 14 columns where you can see all the information. If you want to see some box plot regarding those data, then you can click here and it will show some box plot how many is 0 and how many is 1, like how many people have survived. It's 500 people out of 1310 people survived, which is 38%, and also 809 people died out of 1310 people, which is 62% of our total data. If we look at the age group, then we can see the box plot on age group, where we can see that people from 16 to 32 age are dominating here. Like if you see the sex, then you can see that almost 64% of the passengers are male, and 36% of the passengers are female. Like this is called data aggregation. Once you get the data, then you will have to check whether there are significant like significance within the data. Like there are enough pattern. Like you can see there are male, there are female. Their age group difference, their like how many people survived or not, and also how many people belongs to class 1, class 3 is like 54%, how many belongs to class 2, 21%, and also how many belongs to class 3, class 1, sorry, which is 25%. So you can check them as well. Yeah, and also you can see their fare rate. So yeah. So after data aggregation, now we will focus on the model, where at first, for any type of data analysis, we will need to process our data, do some pre-processing. To pre-process our data, at first we will run one pre-processing method, which is like clean missing data. Here it is, manipulation, data transformation, like you can see it under data transformation and manipulation section, clean missing data. What it is doing, if there is any null data in your data set, like there should be some value between 0 and 1, but like unfortunately there is no record on that field, then what will happen, this clean missing data will run an operation in your data set and just delete those rows in your data so that it will be like less confusing for the model. So, okay, we will have to connect our data set with the clean missing data, and now we are going to split the data in different parts. So let's find out split data. Let's drag and drop it here. So these are data set. We have already uploaded this one and we have already cleaned it. Now we are going to run it through our split data module. So what is happening here? When we design one machine learning model, we will have to use some data to train the system and use some data to test our system. The standard format to divide our data set in two sections, like for training and testing, is like if we train, like we can select 70% to 80% of the data for training and 20 to 30% of the data for testing. And if we do 50% for training, 50% for testing, then the data, like the model will be overfitted, and like it won't perform well, and it won't, like 50% of the data is not quite enough in a data set to train your model. And yeah, and also like that's for that reason we are going to use 70% of our data, like 70% of 1310 rows of data that we have regarding Titanic dataset. We will use that one for training and 30% of the data for testing. So, yeah. So if I run this one, then you will be able to see 70% of the training data and 30% of the testing data. So both of them are checked. So if I click here and visualize, then you can see there are 917 rows out of 1310 rows. So those are training data that I'm going to use to train my system. And here, this part for testing, which is this is like 30% of my total data, which is 393 rows. So I'm going to use this one for testing. So now I will have to, now I will design the train model. So at first, I will find out the train model module. I'm dragging and dropping it here. I will need one algorithm. So as my main target is to find out, is to train my system with all those data and then take a decision like whether a passenger will survive or not. So I'm taking a decision, like I have two options, either 0 or 1, which is like they survived or not. So as I have only two output class, so I'm going to select one two plus like classification algorithm. Like out of all the two plus classification algorithm, the most efficient one is two plus decision jungle. In 2013, Microsoft, a bunch of like researchers from Microsoft, they introduced two plus decision jungle. It is a customized form of algorithm of like two plus decision tree, where you are like customizing your decision tree in a way where the depth and the width will be very limited, and for that reason your accuracy rate will increase, and the runtime will be very less as well. So yeah, let's use a two plus decision jungle here. You can see a lot of algorithms is appearing over there. So I'm going to use two plus decision jungle. I will need one more component, which is partition and sample. This one. So I have now all the components for training. So what will happen in our training model, we will pass the data that we have selected for our training, which is like 970 rows. So before that, we will partition the data into different samples, like into 10 samples, and we are going to use tenfold cross-validation to train our system. So here, I'm passing the data into partition and sample. I'm partitioning my training data into 10 different sections, and then each of the 10 sections, I'm sending them to my train model one by one. Here, I have just connected my train model with the training data, and I'll have to connect my other part of the train model with the algorithm, which is a 2 plus decision jungle. So yeah. And also, I will need to sell, there's like an error you can see, which is mentioning like I need to a value required. So just click here and click on to launch column selector. You'll have to select one column that is going to predict. So the column that you are going to select here is going to be the column of is going to be your output column. The train is going to be trained with all the other data to predict that output column. So for me here, you can see survived column is my output column. So I'm going to select this one, survived. Okay, and click yes. Yeah. So if I run the system now, you'll see there won't be any error or anything, and my system will train itself with the training data. It's running. There's a problem here. Okay, what is the problem? Dataset contains invalid data. I have to select assign to false, and it was my error. I chose something else. Like I chose pick fault. No, I'm not gonna pick any fault. I'm going to partition the data and assign the faults in 10 different sections. So let's run it and see what happened, whether it's showing error again or not. Yep. It's perfect. So you can see the model is already trained now. So now what we will do, we have already trained the model with the data, with our training data. Now we will test the model as well with our testing data. To test the model, we will have to find out score model module. Here it is. And we will need one more component, which is evaluate model. That's it. So what is happening here? This is our testing data. We are passing our testing data to score model, and also we are passing the trained system that we have just trained using our training data to our score model section. And score model is going to rate the model performance according to the testing data. So our model is ready. Our score model is going to pick all the testing data that we have selected, maybe 393 rows from the data set, and it is going to pick one by one and test it whether our design model can predict according to the training or not. And after that, after testing the model, we'll have to find out some score, what's the performance of the model, to evaluate the overall system, to evaluate the performance. We will need to use evaluate model component. So we have already used all the components that we need to design our predictive model. So you can see, at first, we are loading the data. Then we are doing some pre-processing operation, we are cleaning the missing data. And then we are splitting the data in two different sections. One is we are using one for training data training purpose and using another one for testing purpose. And after that, we are using the training data to design our model. And we are using two-class decision jungle algorithm here to design the model, actually. And at the time of designing, training our model, we have partitioned our training data in 10 different folds, which is called 10-fold cross-validation. And then we train the model. And once the model is trained, then we are using score model component to load that testing data that we have already splitted, that we have already got from our actual data, and test our model using those testing data. And after that, we are evaluating the overall performance of the system using evaluate model. And evaluate model will give us the a lot of results. So let's save it and run it. You can see the model is running. It is training itself. And evaluation is happening. It's done. It is finished. So if you click here, on the evaluate model and click visualize, then you can see the performance is really good. Accuracy rate is 94%. With the testing data after training our model, our system is successfully predicting the situation, whether a person will survive or not. And the scenario is pretty common, most of the children and women actually survived. And if the children and women is from class passenger class 1 and passenger class 2, then the survival rate is the highest one. So it is very easy to predict actually from the Titanic data set. So you can see there are 123 true positive and 248 true negative. So true positive means our system has successfully detected whether one person will survive or not. At the same time, our system has successfully detected whether, according to his provided data, or the person won't survive that Titanic tragedy. And also there are option for false negative. False negative does mean that our system has predicted that this person won't survive, but actually he has survived. And there are one false positive where system has predicted that that person will survive, but he didn't survive. So here I've used 0.5 as the threshold value, and the area under curve. This is the ROC graph here, where if your ROC graph is diagonal to 0 to 0 to this point to 1, then you will consider the model as very bad. If it is it's a straight line from your 0 to 0 to 1, then it does mean that your model is performing as a random model. It is taking random decisions. But if the area under curve, from here this curve, is pretty big, which is 0.5, almost 99.77% here, it means the prediction model is really efficient and it is successfully predicting the situation, depending on the scenario. So you can see like all of the informations. So if you like, let's check this core model here. Click right click and visualize. You can see there are like 393 data that we have used for testing. You will see two new columns here. One is score level and one is score probabilities. Score level is the actual like value of survived class, like survived column, whether one person will survive or not. And after training the system, score probability is is doing some probabilistic operation in my model and predicting what would be the value of the survival. It's like it is from 0 to 1. When the value, like when the threshold value of score probability is more than 0.5, then we are considering that that person has survived. Like you can see here, score probability is 0.718, and we are also considering that that person has survived. And anything else, like even if it is less than 0.5, even if it is 0.487, we are considering that that person didn't survive. We can also tweak this system, like let's go to evaluate model and change that threshold value. Like we want our system to perform better, so I'm just like when it is 0.5, the accuracy rate is 0.941, which is like 94.1%. If you like make it 0.25, then accuracy rate is decreasing. If it is 0.07 threshold, then you can see accuracy rate is 0.45% only. If it is 77%, like 0.77, then the accuracy rate is also has also like decreased. Yeah, and the model is giving you that optimal amount of threshold that you need to use for better result. And we have also used like tenfold cross validation. If you design one model, and if you and at the same time if you don't cross validate the data, then your model won't be considered as a good model to test in that scenario. So we can say that our model is pretty good and it is performing pretty well. So what if you want to like add this system with our existing add this model, machine learning model, with our existing system, like it could be a web application or any mobile application, then what we should do, we can set up web service of this model. Let's create one. We'll have to run this one again. And then we will create a web service model for this model. Okay. I've clicked set up web service and recommended web service model. So you can see all the modules are designed by itself. I'm not doing anything. Yes, my model is ready, my web service. Now just click deploy web service. Here it is mentioning like that experiment must be run so that your edits can be validated. So let's run it first and then deploy the web service. If you want to generate the code that you have already, that the model that you have designed, you can easily generate R and Python script of this model by dragging and dropping generate script module. So yeah, now deploy web service. Yes, our model is deployed. So this is the API key that we need to use to add it with our existing system. If you want to test it, for new, we can set input a new set of data. Suppose P+1, someone survived or not. Just make it blank. Name is something ABC. Sex is a male or female. Age is 22. Those are just some random values. SIBSP siblings supposed to. We are 00, ticket supposed to 03, something, and fare supposed to 234, cabin number 22, embark 0, boat number keep it null. Body, no. Home district, no. Or suppose Saskatoon that I'm from. So I'm sending this data to my system, and my system is predicting, like it has already like given me a response, like Titanic machine learning problem, predictive experience, test return. You can see all the values that I have like submitted, and the predictive value is 0.38. Like we have used that, like we have designed the model with the threshold value of 0.5, and here with the provided data, sample data, it is predicting the predictive score as 0.38, and it means that with this type of like data, the person won't be able to survive Titanic. So yeah, we can easily integrate our system, integrate this model with our existing system, and also we can do this type of analysis. If we have a new set of data, we can use this Web API to send the data and test it, test our model, and do some analysis as well. You can see, okay, there are a lot of like request and response like apps or like Excel workbook. I'm just opening them. Looks like my Excel is not responding. Let's download this one again and see how does it work. It's opening now. So yeah, you can see the web service URL, the access key, schema, Azure Machine Learning Studio is providing us everything. We don't need to think about that. We have the web service URL, access key, schema, web API URL, and also it is also giving us the structure to send the data, whatever parameter we need to use, and also like whatever response we will get. I've already showed it to you. So yeah, it was a simple demo on Azure data analysis using Azure machine learning. I've used a 2+ decision jungle algorithm, a 2+ classifier to design the system, and I hope you guys got the experience like how easy it is to use Azure machine learning studio to do some predictive analysis. We can do any other type of analysis as well, where we can detect anomaly from our system. We can find patterns using k-means clustering or either clustering algorithm. If we have multiple class, here we have only two output class, survived or not. But if we have multiple classes, then we can use multiple class classification algorithms as well. So recently, deep learning is very popular. It is considered as the state of the art in artificial intelligence nowadays. So obviously deep learning is something big, so it is not integrated in as a machine learning studio, but Microsoft has launched CNKT tool for deep learning, and they have already pre-trained, they have already launched a lot of pre-trained models, and cognitive services that we are using these days are using solely depending on deep learning module. So you can also search for that one. And that's it on my presentation about data analysis using Azure Machine Learning Studio. If anyone has any question, feel free to ask me. Thank you.
Hello. May I ask a question?
Yes, sure.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Rahat. Your presentation was really fantastic. And my question is, can we use this particular machine learning with the SOAP-based services as well?
Yes, you can.
Oh, great. So with WCF, we can utilize this machine learning as well.
Okay, with WCF... Okay, I'm sorry. No, there is no soap-based service provided by Azure Machine Learning Studio, but you can get Web API. Like, if you have any system, you can easily like add RESTful APIs with your system that is connected with Azure Machine Learning. But yeah, you're right. Like, soap-based services are not available.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, but RESTful services are. Any other question? Okay, Deepak, I have your hello, yeah, please.
Yeah, hi, this is Diksha, and I just want to know about machine learning. Like, 2 months back, I got to know that there is something machine learning and people are working on it, right? But as a Node developer, basically, I'm working on C# and Node and WCF, all that kind of data stuff only. So how is it different? Like, you are saying like a model trains itself for the future predictions and all that, right? Mm-hmm. So if I want to move from this platform to that one, how difficult it is? And I must say, like, I have some knowledge, not deep knowledge that much, but yes, I know something about C language and all that, like data structures, some part of it and all that. So how difficult it is to move this machine learning? And you mentioned Azure Machine Learning. So, that means you all are doing it like we do in Visual Studio. I'm taking it in the same way, like you are utilizing the system to make your system, right? Is there any other option to work on machine learning? Can you use JavaScript in this place? I really want to know how can I get to start into this. That's the question.
The thing is, like, when you're working with any machine learning things, the first thing is you are handling a lot of data. You're working with a lot of data. So you have to do data aggregation, visually show your data to find out, like, what is happening over there. So JavaScript is a, like, scripting language. It is not a good, good choice. For data analysis, actually. So the first language to do like this type of things are Python and R. You can also use Scala in different scenarios, but Python and R are the most popular one. If you look at the job posts in like related to machine learning, you will see like these two are the most famous one. And Azure Machine Learning Studio is a kind of like studio, like not like Visual Studio where you can like design things from scratch and you develop things. Using Azure Machine Learning Studio, you can also develop things from scratch using Python and R, but at the same time, a lot of algorithms are also implemented. It is way easier than any other thing. And for machine learning, what happened, usually machine learning is totally solely depend on the data. So we know that we do generate a lot of data every day on our Facebook or Google or email or anywhere. So once we have data, we will have to do something with those data. And what we are doing with machine learning, we are predicting the future from the past data. It's not only predicting future, we can do a lot of other things as well. So that's why machine learning is, as a developer, it won't be that tough for you to move to machine learning, but you have to have strong mathematical background as well, and also algorithmic background. If you can, very easily, if you have good knowledge about data structure, how things work, also you have good knowledge about algorithm, I believe you'll be able to work with it and move forward with it. And to learn as a machine learning or machine learning, there are lots of opportunities over here. Like there were one survey flow at the beginning of this year. They mentioned that most of the data scientists nowadays are self-trained or trained by different online courses, and they're getting good jobs as well. And there are only 0.1% data scientists all over the world comparing to software developers. So as you are from programming background, and you have algorithmic knowledge, it won't be that tough. You just need to start from somewhere, maybe from Python, how you can manipulate your data. There like lots of Python libraries as well, Pandas, sklearn, like you can use them, and you will get the feeling like how easy it is to use Python to data analysis compared to any other language.
Okay. You used one term, deep learning, something, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me one more thing? IoT in the market is the most talking thing, right? People are using it, means mentioning number of blocks, right? And machine learning and that deep learning.
Mm-hmm.
What is the basic difference? Like, I know what IoT does. I know what machine learning does. I know what...
Internet of Things. It's like standalone small device where it is running it has different types of like facilities like sensors, or it can gather different types of data for you for automation and for your purposes. But deep learning is something else. It is deep neural network, like our brain. Like if you look at our human brain, it's a neural network, and scientists in 1990 designed artificial neural network algorithms just like human. Like when a child is born, like he learned everything from the beginning. He learned to learn to recognize color, like this is red, this is blue, this is green. He learned to distinguish between things. Artificial neural network is just like that. You have to give data, it will train itself just like a child, and then it will be able to take decision. But for deep learning, it's a bit different. Like for artificial neural network, the classic one, we will have to provide the function, how it is going to measure everything. But for deep learning, we don't need to do anything. It's like we will design the model, and the model itself will take all type of decision. Whether if you do face recognition, you will just need to provide 10 or 15 set of classes and a lot of data like images of different person, and later if you train the deep learning model on those data and test it with a new set of data or with a new set of photo, then you will see that deep learning has automatically trained itself to recognize those new faces. And the interesting thing is those people like Google Net, which is like TensorFlow, they have introduced deep learning and made it very popular. And deep learning, as far as I know, deep learning was started a bunch of people from University of Toronto started to design the first deep learning model. So even scientists has no idea how a deep learning model train itself to recognize things. And deep learning is suppose image recognition thing. It will divide the whole system in different layers. It will break that image in tiny chunks, and then it will train itself according to those provided chunks, those provided values. And then when you will give him a new data, it will again break that image and make a comparison with the existing image. So it is really unbelievable how it works and how it can take the decision. But the only constraint with deep learning is you will have to provide a lot of data, thousands of data, otherwise it won't be able to perform well. Yeah. Deep learning and IoT is totally different thing. IoT is more standalone technology, device based, and deep learning is a machine learning model where you provide data to predict unimaginable things.
Okay.
You got your answer.
Thanks, Rat. And I think I'll be waiting for the next session. So thanks
you.
For today. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Deepak, are you here?
Yes, I'm over here. Thanks, Ra. Thanks for wonderful session. I have no idea, machine learning was so easy. Honestly, I was scary about machine learning term, but now I'm confident, right? Thank you, and thank you.
Hi, Rahat. Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yep.
I have started... studying a little bit of machine learning, and I have mostly the neural network approach, and I have implemented some small examples of a neural network, and mm-hmm. I found that one of the most important parts would be the fine-tuning of this network. There are some parameters that you have to take into account, the learning rate of the network, the momentum, the number of nodes, etc. And all that makes for a better model or not. If I understand correctly, Azure Machine Learning Studio does this for you. I mean, it not only create a model, but it also fine-tunes the model to be as good prediction as it can be.
Yeah, like for artificial neural network, when you design one artificial neural network from the beginning and run it, like as like if you do it from the scratch, we'll have to like find out like how many hidden layers will be there, how many hidden neurons will be there, and your accuracy rate will vary like depending on your number of like hidden neurons and hidden layers, and also how many like time you are going to run the system to get the like best accuracy. Like for Azure Machine Learning Studio, they are going to do all these things and like by itself for you. You don't need to think about that one.
Oh, that's great. And also, when you have a large data set, maybe some of the data is not very reliable, or there could be some data that is wrong. Do you have to do something to clean the data? Like, for example, if you have some data related to temperature and in your city, and for some reason something is wrong where you get this data on some rows that is like 5,000 degrees. Is there something that just wipe out the strange data?
Yeah, you can. You can. Like there are like lots of pre-processing models as like modules as well in Azure Machine Learning. The one that I've used is clean missing data. Like if there is any row where there is no value, or if there is any row where like all the values are binary, but one or two are like something else, like numeric, then Azure Machine Learning Studio, like that clean missing data will automatically like delete those data, so that that data won't be confusing to the model. And there are other like modules as well where you can do that type of tweakings.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
Congratulations, that was a great presentation.
Thank you. So, Deepak, it's your turn now. Thank you, everyone, for listening to my presentation. And this session will be available in Channel 9 this next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Rahat. So, thanks, everybody, to having this our tech discussion webinar. I would try to make it interactive as much as possible, as well as my sole objective is today after this session, we have fair idea about, you know, about cloud storage, about blob storage, about data warehouse, which we talked earlier, and we came to know with the answers why we need blob storage, or why not we use another storage type. So that's my agenda, and thanks again. So today we talk about Azure storage. As we know, storage is the most important part for any business, right? If we have any business without data, we can't afford to have data compromised in any condition. We can't afford to have data still. We can't afford to have data having some network compliances which is vulnerable to various reasons. So we will cover all that scenarios. So today we will discuss about how we can deliver the high scale and low cost Azure storage data. We will do a live demo over here. I will share sample code with you guys from which you can, you know, play around. That is Visual Studio Code. You can download from my article, from my website. We will look over Azure Storage tool also, how we can have blob storage or unstructured data, how we can manage that, how, you know, we can move ahead with that. So that is, we are going to cover. So first of all, what I want to say, like last time we talk about the Azure Data Warehouse, which is the structured way of storage. If I'm saying structured way, you could say, okay, relational database, maybe SQL Server. But today we will talk about blob storage, which is another form of storage, which is unstructured database. If we talk about unstructured database, probably things come into our mind, what does that mean? That means if we have data from satellite and we are storing it, say live traffic data in Vancouver or in Toronto or in Regina, so that storage type would be unstorage type. Another unstorage type is having the log files from nuclear reactor where we are, you know, updating it, appending it with infinite time, with infinite length. So that would be the blob storage. It is not, today we are not talking about structured storage, which we did earlier, but it would be the blob storage or unstructured storage, like log file, like image, like live telecast, recording, etc. We will cover a couple of scenarios to understand it better. We will cover the key concept, what architecture it follows, and we will going to have a demo, live demo, through Azure portal, A, B by code, C by a tool. So the whole understanding after this scenario, after this session, definitely we would have, you know, cover about Azure storage in nitty-gritty. And that would be the objective of this session. Okay, so if I talk about current storage and challenge, say being a developer when I was developing an application 12 years back, the main challenge in front of me was to create a website having a database, but I don't know about what the scalability database required. After 2 years might be, currently I develop a web application having user base in Canada, but after 3 years, if all the user base is shifted to the Europe, then what will be happen? Scalability being doing scalable in database, that is really cumbersome task for any developer or any team. And that is also covered some risk that cost us because we have to increase the infrastructure. And without any scalability limit, business can't move forward. So if I would say all these things are handled automatically by Azure Cloud Storage, I think that would be a great relief for any developer, any architect, and from business perspective, that is, you know, kind of business need. So that we are going to do with storage, and it addresses the storage scalability limit. We don't have to worry about hard drive. It is the automatically append. We don't have to worry about the risk management. Nowadays, what the threat we experience, so that is also covered by risk management. And as far as we talk about the cost, it is pay-per-use. So if you are not using 1 PB of data, or you are only using 100 GB of data, then you will be charged for 100 GB. So that is the strength. So how the challenge can be addressed by the storage challenge. We have limitless scalability. We have trust because till now, till today, May 27th, not a single incident has been reported of any threat compromised at cloud storage, cloud economics, and that gives to the business agility. If we have limitless scalability, we know if today my application is at Canada or North America and tomorrow it's going to be after a year in Europe or after that in Africa, then definitely I have that strength to expand my business without taking care of about the scalability. It has trust, it's pay-per-use. If I'm using 10 GB of data, I will charge for 10 GB, not for 100 GB, and that gives us the business agility, that strength our business. So what is the Azure storage? If we talk about Azure storage is the foundational building block of Azure. Like we talk about, last time we talked about Azure Data Warehouse, where we store SQL, we have Data Lake store, but today we talk about Xbox, Skype, unstructured data. It is very hyperscale, more than 120 trillion object. It's durable, it's secure, it's highly available, and it's open. We have APIs from which we can access the data, we can play around that, we can append it, we can put it, we can delete it. We are going to address and touch base those on further slides. And we have strength of hybrid stack also. So that would be the Azure storage. Azure storage services come into two forms. If we, now we have fair about idea about Azure storage, where we talk about that data storage or structured storage versus unstructured storage, which is today we are covering. So it's come into two forms: infrastructure as a service, where we have storage, we have VM, we have network, or we have platform as a service, where we have existing frameworks, say our web application, and we are using their service or compute power to have that. So, for Azure storage service, we have disk, we have files, a couple of data which we need. Where a platform as a service, we have objects, table, and queues. So, whatever our business need is, whatever the budget is, as per our business scenario, if we are appending our old application or versus if we are creating the architect of new application, we have all the strengths as IaaS, infrastructure as a service, and platform as a service. So we can build on unified distributed storage system, and we can have various strength, like we can have local regional replication. We can have the local replication of a data. If my data is at Regina, that is in North America, I can have, you know, three replicas, maybe in New York or maybe in that local region itself. We can protect our data against disk node rack failures. We don't have to worry about all that stuff. Whereas global replica system is, we have six replica, two regions or three regions. For example, I want my data to be stored in, if my application or my business is at a Canadian region and I want my data to be stored in Europe because I want different continent to mitigate the risk of disaster, natural disaster. So that is the reason we have strength of GRS. We can have our data replicate on any location. Another benefit is if my data is at Canadian, if I have my business in Canadian location or North American location, and in future if my business is more in Africa, then I don't have to worry about it. We'll take care about that. It's protect against major regional disaster. That is another requirement of business. We can't, Royal Bank of Canada can't afford to have their database in same geographical region, or any bank or any business can't afford, in case of any disaster, if they lost data, what can be the repercussion we can think about it. And another option is GRS plus read access to secondary. We have secondary endpoints. So we talk about Azure storage. We can store it in local region. We can store it into global region, and we can have read access storage about, you know, on different regions with more strength. So it gives us more consistency. We always scrub our data to preserve from data integrity. So that's the reason we are using Azure storage. And now it's time to have, you know, one demo. But prior to that, I will cover another some basic points. What is blob storage, object storage? It store and serve unstructured data. Unstructured data means app and web scale data, big data from IoT. Diksha was talking about genomics, etc. In genomics, for one human being, more than 13 million record happen. For that, we definitely required unstructured data, backup and archive. For example, a nuclear power station log file, the data which is sent by the satellite. So definitely that is form of unstructured data, and we don't know what type of data, how much it have to append. So that is another feature. We don't need to worry, or we have strength to store data in PBs of data. It's durable. We can use LRS and GRS, global or locally replica system. It is highly available. We can't afford, or any business can't afford, to lose data any point of time or any downtime. So it has 99.99% of availability. It is strongly consistent, dynamically scale up and bandwidth. It is cost effective. We talk about cost effectiveness because it's pay per use. If you are using it, you are paying it. It's not about something if you that some plan where you are not using it, you are going to pay it. So that is the blob storage services, which is in high demand because of data integrity, because of the data required strength, the agility, scalability, security, all that things are covered by Azure Blob Storage, which is unstructured data. For example, YouTube, images, videos, that is a form of unstructured data. They are using storage. So that's the blob storage, some basic concept which I touched through so that you have background before we deep down into code or tools. But certainly I'm sure you, after this session, you guys have, you know, fair idea about blob storage. Why it is ideal for platform as a service? Why? Because it has limitless scale, globally accessible. I'm sitting over here. I'm on my vacations in Mexico, and, you know, I have to do change the GRS to LAS, or change the security, or change the container. I could do that from anywhere where I have internet access. It's not about I have to move to that data warehouse physically to make the change. No, I can do it with tablet. I can do with mobile if I have access to internet. So that is the global accessibility. It's less dependent on a physical location. It's cost efficient. Scenarios for applications where we have to use it. We have live data repository. For example, we talk about, say, Chicago traffic management. They are recording all the data of different streets of Chicago to look over the security and traffic, that is come under data repository umbrella, and that is unstructured data, active and deep archive. If we have to preserve the data for some nuclear test which is going on from last 12 years or some research, then definitely storage, blob storage will be in use, and data analytics. So what is Azure Storage concept? Here is we are on Azure Storage cloud. We can have, one person can have multiple subscription, and one subscription can have multiple account. Say if here is anybody of us, we can have multiple subscription 1, 2, 3, and we can have various storage account. What is the benefit? What we will achieve? We will achieve, we can keep the separation of concern. We can have a different storage account related to each other. Probably we are involving on 10 different activities, so we can have 10 storage accounts. So it doesn't restrict anybody to have one subscription versus one storage account. Container is kind of folder, you could say, our folder at system. Beneath that, we can have our data. In this case, today we are talking about the blob data or blob storage. So that's the reason. How Azure Storage work? Azure Storage, if you have to access, if you want to share your data to me, I'm sitting on different geographical location. I think everyone of us is on different geographical location. How we could share the data? We could share the data with the URL where HTTP storage account would be the Deepak Kaushik for me or for you, Carlos or Diksha or Rahat, anybody, blobcore.net, container name or blob name. That is the, we can give the blob name, we can have container, we can have one container, under one container we can have multiple blobs. So that is the storage URL, type of blob. How many type of blob we have? We have three type of blobs. One is the block blob. Block blob are, you know, we store the data in blocks. That is more commonly used. 90% of our development scenario, we are using the blocks storage. For example, documents. We have one document for Regina chapter. Another is for my Chicago Tech Talk. Another is for my Montreal Tech Talk. So we have different documents, images. We can have different images, video. So maximum time we have block blobs. Second time is append blob. Append blob, as name suggests, which is continuously increasing. For example, log files, they are increasing day by day. We can't break log files because of the consistency. Satellite is sending the data, and that is appending data, you know. So that is logging big data, that is append data. Page blob are kind of our, you know, index on our book. So we name them, okay, 5, 1, 2, 2, and in number. So that is three type of blob. We look over blob, 90% of our time we will be around this. So append blob kind be when we are playing role of like one of my friend who is working on International Atomic Research Center, they are using, you know, append blobs or page blobs as per business scenarios. For example, banking system, probably they need it for particular brands, so they have page blob. So block names, for example, for us, it may be the perkblob.core image. This is my September Regina chapter, you know, I present the same, so yeah, that's what can be the blob name for you. It can be anything. You can have your container name, you can have your name, and there are certain rules we will look over when we will create the blob. When we, you know, do a demo, account name can be 3 to 24 character, lowercase only. That's why you couldn't find DEE as capital, because it's lowercase only. Container name is 3 to 63, lowercase only. Blob name is 1024, case sensitive. And that's the some rules of blob names, blob structure, standard property, block blob, page blob, append blob. We look over different these ETAG and last modified. We have the blob where we maintain the concurrency when this blob has modified, or we look over the size in bytes about the blob. We can have up to 8 KB of unique name associated with it, and we can have up to 5 terabyte per blob. One blob we can have 5 terabyte. We can have n number of petabytes data. That is not, you know, restriction for us. So now it's time for us for have blob storage for a demo. And for demo, I'm going to my Azure portal. Let me open it, my Azure portal. This is my Azure portal. As Rahat has also told you, if you don't have subscription in Azure portal, please create, you know, your subscription. Subscription is through $200 we get credited, so we can play around that in that amount. So we have some storage in storage for blob storage. We are doing one demo. Someone is just arrived, so he has also, you know, I want him to look over. So what we are doing, we are creating demo for blob storage. Here is, we are on storage, and from storage we are creating the blob file table queue. So this is we are creating our blob storage. So let me give the name. We will give the webinar May 27th, because everything should be in small, .core.window.net. Deployment model is the resource model or classic model. Whenever we have any doubt, we can use, you know, this sign to get the information. It's a resource manager for new application. Of maximum time we are using it. Account type, say blob storage is our account type, standard or premium. For standard, we are maximum time using standard. Reason is premium is bit expensive. If your business required very you need very good performance, for example banking or financial transactions, then probably you could use the premium replication. We look over three type of replication in our presentation decks earlier. There are three types of replication. We can say locally redundant storage, geo redundant storage. Locally redundant storage, say in same geography, geo redundant storage in different geography, read access. Geo redundant storage is, you know, with some extra features, extra strengths over there. So access tier, cool and hot. Cool, when our data is not use frequently, we use cool. Hot, if our data is used very frequently, we use hot. So for example, for finance transaction, probably we would be on hot, whereas for government website, where the number of users are not so high, then we could use cool. Choosing an access tier let you specify the access platform for data residing in blob storage. The hot access tier is ideal for frequently accessed data. So when you create today this, definitely you can try to create, you know, with different options. I'm using my MPN, Microsoft Partner Network subscription. You can have developer subscription or another subscription. Resource group, you can create existing Deepak resource for webinar, which we use, you know, for my webinars. Location, we have, I think I got on my website couple of questions about location also. So we have different location. I could choose Canada Central this point of time. So we have created webinar May 27th blob storage, which is unstructured type of storage. It will create it. It has created it. It now deployment in process. We have our deployment. That's cool. Webinars, we use standard Canada Central cool type, and it's deploying it. Meanwhile, it's deploying it. I would also like to share, if you guys want to do practical, want to download, you know, code, this article is published on CSAP Corner. I am, you know, sharing that URL at GoToMeeting also. You can have, you know, all the details from there, so that when you do, if you want to increase your understanding, or you want to do practically implement it after a week or month or any time, you will find the details. Or you can visit deepakosik.com, where you have, you know, same resource, same data over there. You can send me questions, and I'm happy to help that. Meanwhile, we were doing that. I think we have created our first blob stories, and yes, we are here. So here are we. This is our first blob storage type, which we have created. And if I'm creating resource for webinar, so this is the webinar 27th May. I have clicked it. I create one container. Container we talk about is kind of folder, webinar by Deepak. And let me make it blob or private access type. You can have to public access, blob, use container to public read, so anything would work. So we have created one blob, webinar by Deepak. Say, if I have to upload one data, so, and we will access the data by our code. So let me upload one data, unstructured data. Let me upload my baby image. I got baby 2 weeks back. My baby is 2 weeks old now. And yeah. So upload completed. So now, we create the blob storage, and after that blob storage, we create a container. In container, webinar 27, webinar by Deepak, we have this baby image. So if I download this baby image, you could see my baby. She's two days old at that point of time. Now she is 15 days old. And this is what we have created, blob storage from here. Now, I would also like to share, if we have to, if we have to access our this data by code, how could we, you know, do that? So we are on demo itself. If you download Azure, Microsoft Azure Storage Explorer, you could find the link from my articles, from my website. I have shared the download link. So you download that, and once you give your access, so we created just now webinar 27th May, and it has blob container. name Webinar by Deepak. It is syncing automatically. We did nothing over there, and we have created it just a couple of seconds before, and we have this data storage, this storage of my baby. So that's the blob storage we have created. We created the container, we used that, and we access the unstructured data or blob storage by Azure Storage Explorer. So we are done with our, okay. If you want to do with code, here is code. You can download the code also. And from code, once we access that, if I refresh it, we created our webinar 27 May. We created one container, say webinar by Deepak, and we have one image. So we have all the data. We have all the data available, and from this we have created our Azure storage data, and we are accessing it by code. This is sample code, Visual Studio code. You can find on my articles. We access it from Azure Storage Explorer, and from code. So we find three type of blobs. One is the put blob, that is single API call where 64 MB of data can be used. Block list, where we have to append, for example, movie, we have to append data on small bits and pieces. Block blobs are mutable blobs. So they are the rest call put blobs. They are the put block list, and these are the rest calls. So downloading and copying blob, we can use get blob. We can range the blobs from size. We can copy blobs and copy from one location to different location. List blobs are up to 5,000 blobs at a time. And delete blobs for large blobs if we want to delete containers. So we can manage the concurrency. We look over concurrency options were available over there. We have pessimistic concurrency, and we can manage the concurrency. Earlier, if we look over 10 terabyte of data is stored like this in cells, but now for nowadays for PB of data we can store like this. We also talk about geo redundancy, which is very important for business success factor. So we are highly strengthened and leveraged by geo redundancy. We look over, we can access it anywhere. We can have accessibility around any location. We have disaster recovery because of the GRS. We don't have to worry about it. We have to only take the options, and GRS, DR options are available. So summary, what we talk about? We talk about the unstructured data. We look over how it is important and how we can use it. We create demo at Azure portal. We access it from code. We access it by tool. And I think that's it from my side. And I'm here to give answer to any questions. Any questions, please? Okay. If no questions, I think we can call for it now. And you can You can reach to me at my Twitter handler. You can reach to me by my website. And thanks for joining today's session. And if you have any questions, we can discuss by various website or by CSAP Corner website. Thank you.
Thank you, Deepak, for your very interactive session. It was really helpful, and we have recorded the session, and it will be available in Channel 9 next week. So if anyone wants need any help or any raise any question, just tweet us or like contact with us over Facebook or like Teacher Corner site. Thank you everyone for attending today's session. Hope we are gonna organize another one at the middle of like June, and we will invite you guys as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks, Alok. Have a great weekend ahead. Thank you.
Thank you.